What suits different literary mediums to different sources of inspiration? Somber poetry, love songs, or informational books? How can stories influence you? What enables poetry to distill meaning of deeper levels into words better than other mediums? And what is the purpose and power of songwriting? Stories, music, and more influence this meander into the mental mosaic. I'm your host, Bo Burnworth, and welcome to today's Brain Brunch. For my first interview, I'm going to ask my science teacher Emily about the importance of Robin Wall Kimmerer's teaching in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. Hey, Emily.
Hey,
how you doing?
Oh, sorry. Hi, Bo. I'm great. I'm excited to be part of your podcast.
Yeah. So, how do you think Kimmerer's teachings are a good influence on how we can take steps forward in modern day issues?
Wow, such a good question. I think what Robin Wall Kimmerer's greatest strength is really giving such personal examples, and she talks so much about her day-to-day life and just how being in her garden, how working with her kids. It's about a mindset shift. And even though I've read this book so many times, that is what I came to understand on this reading of it. She gives you a roadmap for changing your mind, and that is a way to then affect any number of actions. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, personally, I loved reading the book, and this actually brings me to my next question. Why do you think the book format, tying all these great informational things that we can use to learn, works so well with like the message she was trying to promote?
I know many people who have not read the whole book, and I say, you know what, that's fine. And I'm able to use it in class because we can jump through the chapters and it's less of one long narrative and story and more snapshots and snippets of so many different ways that reciprocity and gratitude show up in her life. So I think it's so effective that they are standalone, almost short stories that are more accessible. I think more people are able to pick it up. And even if they read one or two, it's almost like a book of poetry. I often have a book by my bedside. You know, right now it's Rilke that I don't read every night, but I can always pick that up, read one page and be inspired. So I think she does that quite well. And to your question of how does that fit with her story? Well, it's kind of like my first answer, that here's just another example of how you can do this over and over and over again in very specific, tangible ways. That also include a bit of the science. Of course, I always like that part when she's talking about the newts and talking about the flowers. And I appreciate how she weaves the natural world into those as well. And everyone can find what they're interested in.
Yeah.
Do you have an example of one way your own mindset may have shifted? I know you wrote about this in your reading response several times. What lessons stick with you at the end of the day?
Oh, that's good. Just like how much gratitude can affect communities and people and us and the world. And that's really all we have to give is our gratitude.
Yeah, it never gets old. I think that's also a great success of the book. How can you ever be bored of talking about gratitude? It also is an example of how she has used her voice and produced something, written something, and shared it, which, as you know, is something I say in class a lot. How do you get a spot on the timeline? As humans, we can give our gratitude and we can give our words.
Now, I'm going to interview a fellow cabin tenor and friend, Henry Hadley, about his songwriting process. But first, I'll get him to sing for us.
Splinters like mousetraps, stop me by tracks. I used ancient stoic wood for my foundation staff. I long to slide my socks along with the grain. Fear takes over, I'm terrified of pain. Sandpaper woman, please send my tears away. Send down my layers, take the mask from on my face. 180 grit to sand all of my splinters away. Sandpaper woman, I beg you silently stay. Tremors in my hands that only you can soothe. Your face, your smile, when you make fun of my shoes. Sandpaper woman, you know I never knew that I would meet, that I would need someone like you. Sandpaper woman, please send my tears away. Send down my layers, take a mask from upon my face. 180 grit to sand all of my splinters away. Sandpaper woman, I beg you silently to stay. Touch my elbow if you want to change my brain. When you told me that you thought you caused me pain. Sandpaper woman, you believe me as I said. You're perfect in every way in my head. Perfect in every way in my head. Sandpaper woman, please sand my tears away. Sand down my layers, take the mask from upon my face. 180 grit to sand all of my splinters away. Sandpaper woman, I beg you silently to stay.
That was incredible. So, how'd your songwriting process lead you to write that particular song?
I guess it started as a poem. It just started from thinking, I guess, about sandpaper. And I know that's a weird thought. And then I kind of tried to broaden it as much as I could so that it was more emotion with less specific details.
Cool.
What do you think constitutes a good song?
I think a good song, I think it depends why you're writing the song. But I think if you're writing a song so that people will listen to it and feel good, one of the most surefire ways is to make sure that the song that you're writing is easy to connect to. And lots of different people who have very different experiences can still feel the emotion and be like, oh, I feel that too. So I'm going to listen to this song when I'm feeling happy, when I'm feeling sad or angry, or like when a similar situation is happening to me.
Why do you write songs?
I think for a lot of different reasons, but it really boils down to conveying different emotions with large groups of people, whether that be through comedic songs or like more serious songs, or yeah, really songs with any sort of emotion.
Thanks for coming out and talking to me.
Yeah, thank you.
Finally, I'll be asking my semester mate Sienna and English teacher Chelsea about their poetry and how their meaning is distilled into the words they find so meaningful.
How am I to write a poem, speak something of meaning, write about life and its beauty? How am I to write like they do, the poets who speak so raw and real? How am I to write as if it all matters and as if none of it does? The poets speak of love, they speak of pain, doubt, they speak of reckoning, an epiphany, the small moments and the big ones. How am I to write like the poets, like the universe whispers in my ear, like I can hear, like I can see, when I am just but a blind wanderer, not a dreamer with goggles off? All I see is shallow visions, all I see is fateless decisions. I see the world, but I am no poet. I may see the abyss, and maybe feel it too, its hovering mist, blurring everything around you. But how am I to show it? How am I to write like they do, call pain a chasm, dark and blinding, clawing at a way out, stumbling over steps, hands out? A child wandering, but with weight like that, you can only stumble for so long. Maze through tunnels until it sinks in, you will stay lost, forever wandering within. There is no map, no GPS, no help desk or question counter, no tour guide or street signs to guide you. So you sit in the dark, you sit in silence, you let the world pass you by. You don't do your work, you force yourself to eat, you force yourself to walk, you force yourself to keep on stumbling, to stagger forward, and you finally sit. Because you feel simply too heavy to go on, too tired to think, it's just too hard to get out of bed. And so you don't. You crawl deeper into the pit, the cavern where you continue to sit and wonder how much longer you can stand it. How much longer you can stand to sit in the dark, alone, unable to move, paralyzed by a useless mind. How long till you break free, till you will float out of the deep chasm, feeling light as those shackles break, and you pass the world by, fly into the sky, and finally die. But I'm no poet, so how am I to say all that? How am I to speak of great pain? How am I to show it?
Why do you think your choice of words best distilled the emotion you were trying to convey?
I think that I was trying to speak from a very raw and real place, so that I guess my poem would hopefully convey like the meaning more in a better way, I guess, to show, I guess, the like reality of emotion.
Why poetry?
Why did I choose to use poetry to convey that?
Sure.
I think that poetry allows you like to kind of break the rules in a way prose just doesn't. And having free form just allows you to like speak your mind. And it can almost be like a rant, but in prose, I feel like things are a lot more structured and you have to think a certain way with poetry. It's like no one can tell you it isn't poetry.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I can sense things I didn't before. The sea swoons and chants. The pines pulse. Undercurrents usher us on. The moon talks to me. He talks to me. The phone call still haunts me. Its memory wakes me when I'm still. The terror has found a lasting home in my body. I wait for the next one. A week later, we sing over his ashed anatomy. The dust, him formerly, so suddenly became the only thing we had left. So we take him to the gap in the rock wall, and we pass through.
A spot had already been picked. Mom would be placed here too, I was told. I shuddered, trying to lose the thought. Our words attempt to tell a story, to seal the moment, to find a sufficient end for a life lived. This part feels like it's for us. I choke through tears a poem about the sea. It was always about the sea with us. We grew up on his stories about the cruel gray rip, his brothers pulling blue bodies from weeping waters on a September day. Stories about the uncertain pulse of the water, for it was terror, sure, but he heard awe and he felt something too. A small boy squished between two sets of knees. Atop a wooden deck, he looked out, searching, always searching. The ocean provided or didn't care, he never did know. But he knew that he never felt more sure than when he swam, felt his body cut through water, humbled by waves. When the lines between his little body and the blue dissolved, all that was left was a thread, tethered, and a crushing feeling of sureness. 10 months later and 200 miles south, our feet find footing on the sandy shore. The beachgoers have gone for the day. The sun hangs lazily on the horizon, its heat dulled. A soft respite lingers as we descend, our feet sink into sand. Mom holds Dad's dust in a plastic bag up high, safe above the lip of the sea. She pours the dust that was his body into our palms. I let him go. I let him fall through the cracks in my hand. I place him in the water that sits just below my shorts. I lose hold of him. We leave him there in the sea. Our feet makes their way to the shore. Sand coats our wet feet. My eyes meet theirs. Salty tears lick our cheeks. But there it is, the thread, a crushing feeling of sureness. Each one of us, of sea, of dust, of him. I can see things I didn't before. The sea swoons and chants, undercurrents usher us on. The pines pulse, the moon talks to me, he talks to me.
Why do you think your choice of words best distilled the emotion you were trying to convey?
That's a great question. I think that the words I chose were very intentional. And I think that's a big part of poetry, right? Like you said, kind of like the words, how can the words best capture the emotion? And so I think the words I chose, I really tried to play with like the words capturing rhythm in a sense. Like a lot of my poem was about the sea because a lot of my relationship with my dad is about the sea. And so kind of like playing on the, like, I'm especially thinking the part where I talk about my dad's brothers who like pulled people out of the ocean during a hurricane, and how like, to me, that sounds like it would look or sounds like it would feel. So that is really how I kind of try to play with my words and allow them to capture the emotion. If I can kind of like make my words, the sound of them, sound and look like and feel like what I'm trying to capture.
And why poetry?
Yeah. Do you mean why poetry for like this topic? Or yeah. Why poetry in general?
Why poetry in general? Why do you like poetry?
I love how poetry is the like condensed nature of words and the expansion of emotion. And that's something we talk a lot about in class, but I feel like there's like a skill set and a magic that happens when you have to choose your words so carefully and you can only choose few, but in doing so and choosing them really wisely, it forces you to like have to capture your emotion in perhaps a more profound way. And I would honestly say, in some ways, a more profound way.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was awesome. Sadly, we're out of time. I've been your host, Bo Burnworth. Thank you so much for joining me on today's Brain Brunch.
Peace out.